بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters. Today we are continuing the discussion on ghiba. Ghiba as a very pernicious, very evil means by which a community can be destroyed, both by its own people, by people within it, and also by those who are their enemies from outside of it. And I gave you an example in history. It happened in the United States of America in the 60s, where fabricating riba led to a destruction of the leadership. And one of the things that is, I think, also should be noted is that riba or backbiting is not as interesting, or as they would say in terms of gossip, juicy, when you are backbiting about somebody who is well known for their bad behavior or their bad morals. It is not something surprising. It is always something surprising, and it always is something that catches the air, catches an audience, when it is about somebody who has a high status in the society or someone who is known for their moral probity. And in our community, I believe that one of the most important practitioners of community destroying riba is our own people themselves. And you know what I'm talking about, especially the sisters know what I'm talking about, because what happens is that many times you find them targeting ulama for riba. And they say all these different things. Most of them tend to revolve around things like politics, you know, throwing out things like, for example, so-and-so is working for the government, or so-and-so is against the revolution, or around different types of marriage, for example. You know, that some of them have secret wives, whether it be of the temporary or the permanent kind. And you know what I'm talking about. What does this do? What does this do? This destroys confidence in your leadership. It destroys and creates cynicism among people by those people who do that type of nefarious action. And if you destroy the leadership of a community, you destroy the community. You cut the head off from that community. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, not only that, it's about prominent individuals in our community, you know, people who others respect, you know, whether they are sheikhs or whether they are not, you know, they put this type of thing out there. And it is something that reflects a sickness in the minds of people. And there are many hadith that talk about this, talk about the fact that the people who engage in riba, the people who engage in backbiting, have a moral weakness, have a sense of non-achievement, have a dissatisfaction about themselves, feel themselves small, and so therefore they want to destroy or bring down people who they see in prominent situations or in prominent positions. You have to be very, very careful about riba, because riba is something that can destroy us in a very, very quick manner. Because once you start talking about somebody like that, you put a poison in their heart. And that poison in their heart is very, very difficult to take out. You destroy them. As the Holy Quran says, you eat the body of your dead brother by filling yourself or trying to take their role in terms of, or in by means of destroying them. Now, it is clear that many of these things might not be technically called riba. in the sense that that person is doing a slander. They are saying something that is untrue about somebody. But it falls under riba because the person who is hearing it thinks it is true and thus propagates it as something that is true. And as you know, the definition of riba is saying something that is true about your brother, which, if he heard you saying this, would give that person distress, would make that person upset. This is riba. Slander is telling somebody something that would make them upset, telling somebody else about somebody else, something that would make that person, the victim, upset, but it's a lie. So you have in our community this kind of thing going around a lot. I have been a victim of it. I have heard people telling, people come up to me and ask me, say to me, I hear that you are a fan of Tupac Shakur. You know Tupac Shakur? Some of you old guys don't know Tupac Shakur. Tupac Shakur is a rapper, okay? He's a rapper, very talented man, but he has a lot of cuss words and so on in his rap. You're looking at me, a 58-year-old man, and saying that I am a fan like a 17-year-old for Tupac Shakur, okay? Where does that come from? And I tell you something, it's not just here in our community. That thing originated in Qom. It originated in Qom. Okay? So you have to be really careful about this type of stuff. You see? Because it is creating a negative attitude in the minds of somebody. And people will be looking at you and be talking to you. And you don't know that they have this attitude in their mind about you. That you don't. You know? You don't know why. You know, sometimes you talk to them, you're saying something important, it just goes over their head. Because what is in their mind is whatever they heard about you. If we want to maintain community discipline, and all communities that are successful are so because they are disciplined, and you have no discipline without leadership. You have no discipline without leadership. You have no discipline without somebody taking responsibility for your community. If you want to destroy your community, you destroy the leadership. And you could assassinate a leader in one of two ways. You can either take their lives or you can take their reputation. And taking their reputation is worse than taking their lives. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. It destroys social cohesion. It destroys social cohesion. People don't want to take responsibilities because they are afraid that they become the focus of people's lies and people's rumors. Why is it, for example, why is a person who is a victim of riba upset about it if it is true? Why is it? It could be one of two reasons. One of two reasons. One, that thing that is being propagated is something that is negative, that they are embarrassed about, that they do not like being spoken about, and they are working on it. They're trying to change it because you could be corrupt. You could be someone who loves your faults. You could love your evil deeds. But that person who wants to keep that a secret tells you that that person is sensitive about it and doesn't like it. And so when you spread that around, it makes that person it makes it very difficult for that person to be recognized or respected in society. It makes it very difficult for them to change because people will stereotype them. And this is why, for example, it is said that in some of the hadith that you have to be very careful about riba because of the, if you're telling somebody a negative truth about somebody else, maybe that person did tawbah. Maybe that person did tawbah. Maybe that person changed. And you are saying something about them that is no longer true. So you have a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He said, backbiting is worse than adultery. And somebody, one of the companions asked him, why? Why is that? Because adultery is a very heinous crime in Islam. You know, in many cases it will bring the death penalty. And he said, because if a person commits adultery, that person could seek forgiveness from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. But when you do riba against somebody, the backbiter is not forgiven until the victim that he has backbitten forgives him. So you have to be careful about that. So I'm waiting for you guys. I'm waiting for all of you who did riba against me. Come see me and we talk. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. All y'all who do riba against ulama in this place, you better come to us and talk. We're going to forgive you. But if you are embarrassed, I will see you on the day of judgment, and I might be very angry with you. Backbiting is the sign of a flawed character. Remember this. It's a sign of a flawed character. And it could come in many, many different forms. And I want to mention to you a very interesting story by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, to show you how subtle it is and how he responds as an imam would, and would teach us how to respond to that as well. Somebody came up to Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and said that so and so said that you are astray and you are an innovator. So he comes to Imam Zain al-Abidin and said, somebody said something bad about you. Okay? Somebody said something bad about you. Somebody was slandering you. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam responded to him. He said, you have not observed the right of the man you sat with by transmitting to us what he spoke about. Think about that. He said, you who are reporting to me what this man said, you are not observing the rights of the man you're reporting to me about when you sat with him and heard what he said. What is this man's right? This man's right is that what he said should have been kept confidential and should have not been reported to the person who he was victimizing. Check that out. And he said, nor have you observed my right, Imam Zain al-Abidin, by informing me about something about my brother which I should not have known. So you force me to listen to something that I don't have any right to listen to. I am not supposed to listen to this. I'm not supposed to listen to you telling me about the fault of somebody, that fault being him telling you something bad about me. Check that out. I tell you something. I think for 99.9% of us who are here, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know what so-and-so said about you? The first thing you say is, what? What? What did they say? This is how they destroyed the Black Panther Party in the United States. You know, you've been reading about police brutality in America recently against African Americans. This was going on for decades, for centuries, ever since they brought black people as slaves to America. And in a place called Oakland, it was very high in police brutality. So what these guys did is, what they decided to police the police. So they would shadow police officers. And wherever policemen attempted to arrest some person, they would stay at a respectable legal distance and would tell the persons their rights. So they were creating justice in their environment. And the FBI decided, because these guys were active, they were like besieged. The FBI decided they want to stop these guys. And this is how they stopped them. Did you hear what X said about you? What? And from that moment, when he saw X, he didn't see a friend. He didn't see a co-worker. He didn't see a fellow struggler in the trenches. What he saw was an enemy. What he saw was a flaw. And it destroyed the community. I tell you, brothers and sisters, stay away from anybody, especially people who are backbiting ulama. You stay away from them. You tell them you don't want to hear about this. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam to this man said, beware of backbiting, for it is the food of the dogs of hell. It is the food of the dogs of hell. The backbiting comes out of your mouth, the dogs of hell will be after you in hell for as long as you are there, because you are the one who produced that rumor. And the higher the person, the more honorable the person, that you do a backbiting against, the worse the crime is. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The sixth important right that your brother, your fellow member of our community has upon you, as said by Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, is an ya'udahu fi maradihi, to visit him when he is sick. Why? What importance is it of visiting somebody when they are sick? Remember, what might seem to be an individual act, as we have seen so far, have very profound social consequences. First of all, there are lots of blessings in visiting the sick. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said, a person who visits the sick plunges into rahmah, like they dive into rahmah. Before we continue with this, I'd like to mention a principle about love. There's a principle about love. Love occurs when between people that have affinities with each other and have things in common with each other. Love occurs when that happens. Think about, for example, if you're on a trip and you're on a bus, for example, or a train, and everybody's a stranger around you, and usually people don't talk to people when they're strangers, you know? And imagine, for example, you have a favorite book, a rare favorite book. Let's say that book, not too many people know about this book, but you love this book so much. And you see the guy opposite you reading this book. What will happen to you? You get a sense of familiarity. Your eyes light up. You are spurred to make conversation. Hey, you're reading this book. Yeah, what do you think? And so forth, right? This is love on a simple level, okay? Familiarity. You know, sometimes they say opposites attract. They don't really mean opposites, because the opposite of love is hate. The opposite of honesty is dishonesty. That's not that. No, it's complementary opposites attract. Opposites that complement each other, like man and woman, parent and child. These are complements. These attract. But basically, between people who tend to have, who are not opposites, what attracts is commonality in what they like, commonality in what they prefer, commonality in habits, etc., etc. To be the beloved of Allah, we need to have some kind of commonality like that. Something in ourselves that is divine, that we actualize, that Allah looks upon us and says, yes, I love that person because he has that quality. And one of the major qualities that we could actualize, that Allah has, is rahmah. The more rahmah you have, the more rahmah Allah has for you. The more rahmah you have is the more Allah loves you. So it is in this area that we are encouraged to do kind deeds to each other, to visit each other when we are sick. Because in visiting each other when we are sick, we are showing a rahmah that Allah would be pleased with. There's a hadith by the Holy Prophet that illustrates this, where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, on the day of resurrection, Allah the Almighty would tell somebody, "O son of Adam, you did not visit me when I was sick." Allah tells this person, "You didn't visit me when I was sick." And that person would tell Allah, "Oh Allah, how could I visit you? How could you be sick when you are the Lord of the worlds?" And Allah would reply, "Did you not know that when my servant so-and-so became sick and you did not visit him, did you not know that if you had visited him, you would have found me there with him?" So Allah is at the side of the sick person. Allah is with that sick person. And this is very significant because it means the intensity of Allah's presence with the sick person. Inshallah, tomorrow we would continue this particular topic. Right now we are close to the prayer time. But may Allah, inshallah, purge us and destroy from us the tendency to ghibah. May Allah strengthen us in having social discipline and help us to stand up against anybody who tries to practice ghibah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.